Scripture reading this morning will be from Genesis 29:16-21. Genesis 29:16-21. And Laban said unto Jacob, and Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was a tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it's better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled. I may go in unto thee, unto her.
Not long ago, I was sitting at a table with a man who wanted a little information from the Bible, and he turned to me and said, could you help me? He said, I know that there is a story in the Bible which deals with a man who had two wives. He said, this is the story of the man who had the ugly wife and the pretty wife, and I want to know the name of the ugly wife. Well, the story he was referring to is found in Genesis 29, the chapter just read. And from that chapter, we find that Jacob had been working for Laban, and Laban was a man who had two daughters. Jacob said that he would work for 7 years if Laban gave him Rachel. Rachel, as you look at the account, was the youngest daughter, and of course, she was a very attractive lady. Based on the scripture reading, Genesis 29, verses 16 through 21, the Bible says Rachel was beautiful and she was well-favored. The text does not say that Leah was ugly. It does say that her eyes were tender. That's stated in verse 17. And translators and commentators are at odds as far as trying to define exactly what that means. If you have one translation, it may convey the idea that the eyes were simply weak. Not that she was unattractive, but in the eyes, if you looked in her eyes, they lacked luster. There was not much pizzazz. The eyes were dead, and that may well indeed be the idea. But there are other translations that take this in a very different way. And the second way to understand the thought is that the eyes were pretty. The eyes were the best quality. And the rest of her was not real good. So if that's the view that's being expressed, then maybe ugly would be the right word. I don't know. But whatever the exact point is, the thought is Leah was attractive, at least to the man who wanted to marry her. But Leah, rather, was not as physically attractive as her sister. This morning, as we think about this account and as we look at Christianity, we want to give our attention to personal attractiveness. In our world, as we hear people talk about beauty, beauty is something that's admired. It's praised, it's sought, people will pay big money for it, and they will even evaluate it. It's no secret that beauty pageants are a common thing in our day and time. They've been around for a long time. It's also no secret that men comment on the looks of women, and women comment on the looks of men. Certainly, as we look at beauty, it's something that can and often is taken from the physical realm. But the Bible also recognizes that there is a second type of beauty, and that is the inner beauty. In 1 Peter 3, verse 4, the Bible refers to the hidden man of the heart. That is, no matter what a person looks like as far as their exterior, it is possible for people, for all people, to be very, very attractive. Some of the worst looking people in the world, and that of course is using the standard of beauty that the world uses, we find that they are the nicest people that we could ever meet. We also find as we look at people who are in the world that may be often praised for their outward beauty, that even though as a man or a woman the world says you are just about as attractive or as handsome as a person can possibly be, what we find is beauty or an attraction that's only skin deep. And that's literally true sometimes. In those lives of people, we find sometimes corruption and inconsideration and wickedness all cloaked by an attractive shell. If we want to be the people of God, if we want to be the church that Christ built, then we need to be interested in beauty. God wants beautiful people. Now we know this to be true because in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, Paul likens the church to a bride. And all of my references this morning are going to come from the book of Ephesians. How many, thinking about Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, how many women want to show up on their wedding day and be an ugly bride? Well, I've never met one. Or we might ask the question from the reverse, how many men want to see a hideous bride marching down the aisle to meet them? I've never met a group who says, I want an ugly woman coming down the aisle to meet me. That just doesn't happen. Beauty, of course, is in the eye of the beholder. And as we think about beauty in the spiritual realm, the beholder is God. In the physical realm, most take at least a few steps to keep themselves looking halfway respectable. They may check out the hair, comb it, and wash it, and that kind of thing, deal with the clothes and the nails and other items. But are always concerned, because we're God's people, about beauty in the spiritual realm. There are some things that we can do as far as our Christian life that will make us obnoxious or quite unattractive. There are, if you will, beauty killers for the people of God, and they're not hard to list. We could do this in a number of ways. I have simply decided to turn to the book of Ephesians because about half of that book, Ephesians 4 through 6, deals with basic characteristics of Christian character, both the good and the bad. And they will help people either be beautiful or ugly in the spiritual realm. For example, in Ephesians 4 verse 2, we have a reference, depending upon your translation, that says God's people are to be both lowly and meek. We might understand those two words as also being references to humility and gentleness. There are few people in life who appreciate someone who is not humble. If you think about a person who you may know or someone you may have met who brags and boasts and rants and raves about all that they've done, you know that boasting or bragging is not a beautiful thing. The second sin in Ephesians, or the second quality in Ephesians 4:2, that is the idea that we want to be lowly, or we want to be gentle, is also helpful to us because it tells us, and we know by experience, that unkindness is not beautiful. There are several ways in which we can miss out on being gentle, or several ways in which we can be unkind. How many of us, at some point in time, have ever heard someone say, or maybe we even thought this ourselves, you should have seen the way that he or she looked at me. It wasn't really what someone did, and it really was not what someone said, but it was just a look. The point that's being made is that someone received a look, we or someone else. Someone was looked at in a way that was hateful and harsh and mean and hostile. Not long ago, I was on a car lot, and I was introduced to the sales manager, and I looked into that man's eyes, and I may have misread the eyes, but as I looked at that fellow, and he looked back to me at me, I thought, that guy's eyes are telling me I want to cheat you in every way I possibly can. I need to shaft somebody today, and I'm going to get you. Now, maybe that's not what was going through his head, but I do know that in some early negotiations, we didn't get very far, and things just kind of broke off. But sometimes, people can have a look that's not friendly, a look that's not welcoming. Beauty and gentleness come together in many areas of life. That's one, and we can list some others. We see them combined, for example, in how we speak to others. There can be beauty in our tone, or it can be a tone that's ugly. Beauty and gentleness can be found in the way that we construct our words. We can strive to be people who have beautiful speech, or we can strive to be people who, instead of words of grace and comfort, have speech that is as poisonous as a rattlesnake. Not long ago, I was sitting with some men who were talking about another man. And the people in the group were asking if a certain man who was not at the table was accustomed to swearing, accustomed to using foul language. And one of the fellows at the table said, no, that man does not talk in that manner. That's not his typical speech. He was known for how he talked and how he did not talk. So our words make up to a large degree the perception that people have about us. They are significant when it comes to being a beautiful person or an ugly person. And if we choose speech that's biting, that is critical, sharp, or acid-like in its response, that puts a blemish on our Christian character. That puts a big blemish on our Christian character. That kind of speech is not gentle, Ephesians 4, verse 2. Along with our looks, and along with our words, there are, of course, our actions. We may not say anything, or we may not look at someone in a bad way, but as the old saying goes, actions can speak louder than words, and oftentimes that's true. People can do things that result in their having a hideous spiritual appearance. And we're all going to have a blemish or a defect at times, but sometimes those are very, very significant and very, very frequent. But if we're God's people, we need to recognize that those kinds of blemishes, those kinds of defects are simply not acceptable to God. That's not his will. How do I know? I know because in Ephesians 5, verse 27, the Bible says God wants his people to be without spot, without blemish. Without any such thing, God wants beautiful people, and that's how his people will be in eternity. We should look at our lives on a regular basis as far as what we're thinking, what we're saying, and what we're doing. We can also look at specific instances of how we interact with people and do some self-examination and self-evaluation. Was our behavior the last day or today or last week, the last 6 months, beautiful? Or was it ugly? Or was it somewhere in between the two? As you look at Ephesians 4:2, staying with this passage, you find another word, another quality, and this is translated in the ASV long-suffering, or patience, would be maybe another rendering for it. Being patient will make people beautiful. It will make parents beautiful to the children. and it will make children beautiful to their parents. It makes employees beautiful to their employers, and employers beautiful to their employees. It applies to teachers and students. I don't know about you. Been a little while since I've been in school, but if you can remember back to a time when a teacher was patient with you, when maybe patience was not something that you deserved, that was a beautiful quality. In virtually every aspect of life, this quality or this characteristic has application. When was the last time that our patience was tested? Could have been as early as this morning, getting ready for services. Were we beautiful? Were we ugly? Or were we somewhere in the middle? Maybe it was yesterday, as we were out in the neighborhood, or maybe it was sometime during the work week this past week. Perhaps we were tested recently in multiple ways concerning patience. Were we beautiful or not? As we look back at some of the latest tests that we've gone through, and we ask our questions, did we mar the image of Christ, or did we display the kind of life that he wants? As we think about Ephesians 4, we can skip down a little bit to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. That, Paul said, we may be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. How many of us have ever witnessed an adult who acts like a child? Well, that happens. Most of us have seen that at one point or another, and that's not a pretty sight. By the time a person reaches their 20s, there should be some maturity. After people reach their 30s, they are, for the most part, halfway to retirement. They're certainly no longer children. By the time a person is in their 40s, they more than likely have some significant responsibilities in the secular world, or at least a lot of people do. In the 50s and 60s, we have a lot of men and women who are involved in the making and the enforcing of laws, and we expect, and rightly so, adult thought and behavior from adults. Responsible, mature behavior is a beautiful thing. Childish behavior from adults is very unattractive. And that's what Paul has in mind here in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, that's not the primary point. He's talking about spiritual gifts. But when we understand that point, then in a way that we can apply that passage is the way that we're giving right now. Childish behavior from adults is very unattractive. As I thought about this, maybe the most classic illustration that comes to my mind is the parent who is at the Little League game. There is, you know, Johnny's child out there or Susie's child out there on the ball field, and the child does not get a fair shake, and out goes dad to rough up the umpire. Ever seen that? Acts like a child on the ball field. Or if it's not dad, maybe there's mom in the stand, and she begins to berate the referee, hollering just as loudly as she can, and, you know, people just stand there and gawk. Adults can behave like children. Paul knew that. And the Bible says God knows that, because God, of course, was the one who inspired the apostle. And the Bible specifically says, Ephesians 4:14, be no longer children. You're an adult. You've grown up. You need to behave as an adult. So when things are not fair, when things are not right, when things do not go the way that we want, we, God says, handle them as an adult, because that is a beautiful thing. Several beauty secrets in the spiritual realm are found a little later, towards the end of the chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice. There is a type of anger that's like a rage. We've seen bitterness in the lives of many. Malice and slander are certainly very common in today's world. We see these things on TV. Maybe the best illustration of them is when a political candidate is seeking an office. Most Americans, at least if the polls are halfway correct, when they see the negative kind of campaigning and mudslinging, they say, we are turned off. Anger and accusations, railing, bitterness, when people see these kinds of things, they recognize them in one degree or another as a sin, and they find that they make people ugly. But God says he wants his people to be beautiful, not only to heaven itself, but to one another. So God says, put these things away. Let them not be named among you. When it comes to beauty, there are some things, of course, that people would and do want to put away. It may be a few extra pounds. There are some people who believe that if they can get rid of a little weight, they're going to be more attractive. And there's some people sometimes who look at a particular facial feature and they say, if I can get rid of this, if I can put this away, it's not to my liking, I will be a more attractive person. There may be some individuals who look at a hair situation, a hair problem, and they say, if only I could deal with this, I would be much more attractive. God says in the spiritual realm, we need to pay attention to spiritual beauty. And when we find problems that affect our beauty, they need to be resolved. All the sins that we've listed thus far will make men and women unattractive, so we need to get rid of them. What God wants from us is found in the next chapter, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. There the Bible simply says, and walk in love. Walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor, for a sweet smell. Three simple words, walk in love. Well, what do those three simple words mean? It means that we seek a life which is filled with love. From what we think to what we say and do, there are continuing expressions of love. If we bring forward a person who has flawless beauty or is handsome in every possible way, but there is no love, most people would say that the beauty is truly only skin deep. There is nothing in that individual but a facade. But bring forth a person who is marred almost beyond recognition and overflowing with love, and the person will say, that's an attractive person. That's truly a beautiful individual, someone to be respected, someone to be honored, and someone to be loved. God's people want to be beautiful. We want to be beautiful in our homes. We want to be beautiful in our neighborhoods. We want to be beautiful in our schools, in our social settings, in our places of work. And when we come together as God's people, as we interact with fellow Christians, we want to be beautiful in that arena as well. What if God took a copy of the church directories that exist, and since we're at Goshen this morning, we might just use our directory, and he went through it name by name. And as God went through our directory or any other directory of a congregation of Christ Church, he had his red pen out, and he made a notation by every person in there who was accountable for his or her actions. And he made one of three comments. This is a beautiful person, spiritually speaking. Or this is an ugly person, spiritually speaking. Or this is an average person, spiritually speaking. And the correlation, of course, would be directly related to our spiritual beauty. Well, of course, God would not be basing that upon some kind of arbitrary choice. He would not just be saying, well, this one looks good for this one. We'll give a different rating to that one. No, but it would be information that would be based on fact, based on how we've lived, how we've interacted, how we've conformed to the Word of God. Over the last 6 months, if that were the rating period, or over the last year, how would God rate us? Interesting question, isn't it? Our spiritual beauty. In the middle, beautiful or ugly. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time. That passage says the time is running out for each one of us. The clock is ticking. If we, as we look at our life, have difficulty saying that in the eyes of God, I'm sure that I'm a beautiful person, there's still time. We don't know how much. Maybe a little, maybe a lot. But it's time that needs to be used. If we've never become a Christian, then from the standpoint of Christianity, we're not attractive, because we've not been brought into that spiritual body. We're not among the saved, among the sanctified, among the cleansed. And the Bible says that that spiritual beauty can be ours. If we believe in Christ, we're willing to live as the Bible describes that beautiful life, willing to acknowledge that Christ is Lord. The Bible says we can be baptized into Jesus' death, and we can enjoy all the spiritual blessings that he has, including that spiritual beauty. That's something that's available to each one this morning if you've never become a Christian. But if you have become a Christian and you have struggled with spiritual beauty for whatever reason, you've slipped. And this morning you need to make some corrections. And those are corrections that we can help you with by studying with you, by praying with you, whatever we can do. We'd like to do that. If there's a way that you're subject to the invitation, would you let us know as we stand and sing the selected song?